Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 81-50-93-9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, temperature control is one of the most important luxuries that one man can have. If you agree, then DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222. Ask them about their Mitsubishi Mini Split for that hard-to-heat or hard-to-cool room in your home. 968-6222, or you can even look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Also, when you hit the 11 o'clock mark, if everyone's circadian rhythm is about right, you start thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch? People, not only do I bring you lunch, I bring you a community pillar. For over 50 years, locally owned Moby Dick has been committed to serving the city of Louisville. High quality seafood, quality that starts with that fish, wild caught cod from the icy waters of the North Atlantic. Breaded fresh daily, you won't find a better fish sandwich. And don't forget about their famous hand-cut onion rings cooked to order. With 15 area locations, Moby Dick has learned it's the people that make the restaurant special and lasting. They appreciate their customers for making them the fabric of the community and the Louisville staple since 1967. Moby Dick, a whale of a sandwich.
I'm telling you, Moby Dick is probably my favorite fish sandwich in town, just because it reminds me, it's made just like the fish fries. Like when you go to the, like a fish fry,
they
it's the exact
pride.
Same way.
They take pride in their fish sandwich.
It's good too.
Everyone knows if a place takes pride in their food and their service, you're going.
I'm telling you, it sounds good right
Lunchtime, I can just change my route. You know what? I think I will have some Moby Dick lunch today. Whew. So here's the thing. I know people have been patiently waiting for the solution. Every single week, every single game, there's always a problem. Doesn't matter if you win or lose. There's an impending problem of doom. The offense clicked. Maybe we just got hot that game. The defense played better. Maybe they just had something. Yes, Texter.
You know, like, it's funny because going back to the way you started the show, we talked about this before the show, and you said, I got a game plan to beat Notre Dame. And and that's when the whole, you know, I asked you, well, what's going to happen if we win and all that. And you know what? I didn't even try to ask, because I knew you were going to say, wait till air. I'll tell you on air. And so, like, I'm going to hear this for the first time with you guys. So my reactions to this is going to be the same.
So here's the thing. Where there's always a problem and there's always a solution. Good coaches, game plan specific. Sometimes schools just have your number. Sometimes schools can be affected. Sometimes you wonder if teams may be a little overrated. You look at those Notre Dame numbers and you say, oh, we're just going to get smashed. Did you see how many rushing numbers they had? Or did you see that? We've ran into this problem before. But you know what? We've been on the other side. Javian Hawkins one time had about 120 yards, maybe, right? You know what people said? Well, if you didn't have that 75-yard rush, then he wouldn't have had 100. He would have just had 27 yards. Watch a Notre Dame game. They have three breakaways. Let's just say they had three breakaways a game. Long touchdown runs, right?
So let's take away those 75-yard touchdowns.
Right. Let's take away those on Notre Dame. Their rushing numbers are human, are normal, are pedestrian, good Notre Dame teams. They beat the team 59-0, which was South Florida. They beat Florida State, and who was that first one? They beat 27-13. Maybe it was Syracuse in the home opener. Who did they beat 27-13, Brian? I'm sorry, I should have had that already written down, but it stuck out in my mind when I started looking at the details. Because we got to be honest, we haven't looked at a lot of Duke. Duke, I got it. Thank you, Texter. Duke. 27-13. Duke is not considered a good team. Am I right? Duke is, think about that. If in the opening game you beat Duke 27-13, it said well, we're not that good this year. Nobody would have been happy with beating Duke, you know, 27-13, right? So listen, I'm not telling you that Notre Dame
Duke's 1-4
isn't right. Makes that 27-13 look a little more manageable.
Duke has been beat by Boston College and Virginia.
Okay.
And Virginia Tech.
I get that. Like I said, I'm not saying that Notre Dame isn't a good team. What I'm saying is I'm making this a little more palpable, a little more tangible to our palate, our football palate. Because I don't want you to be surprised when you're in it. Those last two touchdowns for Georgia Tech were not what the game looked like. But it's as we always do, Brian, we say your snapshot in your brain is that last touchdown because you have a scarred psyche of Georgia Tech. But it doesn't take away the Satterfield quote of the post game or the Monday show that we were up 5 with 10 minutes to go and Javian Hawkins with the ball at the 50-yard line and we were moving the ball up and down the field. We just weren't connecting on the big plays. Let's remember that before you, we just talk about this is the 2-10 defense. This is the, you know, this is the 2-10 give up a million yards a game for history. Go ahead.
I'm just kind of looking through Notre Dame's schedule and their games that they've played already, and all their wins are against one win teams. And so Florida State's one win was Jacksonville State, mm-hmm. and South Florida's one win was the Citadel. Mm-hmm.
And again, let's make this disclaimer. I'm not here to tell you Notre Dame is not a good team. I wouldn't dare do that because I'm going to want this credit after this game about how well Louisville played. Listen, okay. They could not show up, but they could show up. They could show up. So here's the thing. Here's the conversation. I watched those couple of really, really long runs and said, huh, those numbers are a little skewed, right? Which is fair because they ran the ball well on us last year, you know, like I said, but it wasn't just like we didn't belong on the field. It's just we knew they had enough playmakers to win the game. But last year, you remember we felt, man, I would love another crack at them. Yeah. We didn't even know if we believed in ourselves enough back then, right? And these are energies that can be tapped into. I've played on enough teams to know some teams you can feel like we should get another shot at them. And this is the year we get it. So here's the thing. Notre Dame. What player's name do you know from Notre Dame? How many players on Notre Dame can you name, Brian?
Ian Book. the running back, Williams.
Book Ian.
Book Williams. There you go.
Ian Book and Book Ian and EB or Abby, whatever. Okay. I'm watching the game. Early in the game, I see something happen, and I say, huh, that was interesting. I wonder, do we have a shot at that? What's Ian's book? What is Ian Book's weakness, Brian?
Doesn't he throw a lot of interceptions?
Why does he throw a lot of interceptions?
bad reads, holding the ball too long. I'm just guessing right
now. I know. No, everybody's saying the exact same thing you're doing, so this is perfect. You know what Ian Book's weakness is? He's listed at 6 feet. I don't even think he's 6 feet tall, right?
Yeah, that leads to interceptions.
Right, for starters. I saw something early, and I raised my eyebrow. I said, Ian Book is not a guy you're worried about really outrunning you. We have thinner, athletic defensive linemen, right? If we can force, and I don't even want to say force, Ian Book, without having to collapse the pocket, Ian Book is susceptible to tipped passes at the line of scrimmage, big time. 6 foot quarterbacks have to try to find windows. I think a recipe for an upset lies in, you hear Steve Rummage say, if he were looking for a player of the game on defense, he said, Yaya Diaby. Listen here, people. I'm going to go through a couple of things because I wanted to know, were we capable of executing this game plan? The push at the line, the disengage. You can tell when a game plan is to get your hands up at the line of scrimmage. You've watched enough football where you can say, no, they're getting their hands up. They're tipping up a lot of footballs this game. Like, mm-hmm. this must be a new game plan.
You know, Book only has 3 touchdowns through 3 games throwing.
Okay, we'll add that to the resume.
So that's an average of one touch. He's averaging 200 yards passing and 1 touchdown a game.
So, Marcus, this idea comes into your mind that, and after watching film, that he may be susceptible to tipped passes, hands up in the line of scrimmage. But the question is, do we have the personnel that can do that? So I go, where's all my defensive linemen? I scroll. We'll start right at the top because the numbers, okay. Here, where's the first defensive line?
While you're looking that up, contrary to that, they have 12 rushing touchdowns.
Mm. And 7 of them probably came from the South Florida game.
1, 2, 3. They have 4 guys that are averaging over 7.5 yards a carry.
And most of it probably came from the South Florida game.
Yeah.
which is okay.
Yeah, because it goes long. Because, you know, they put the long for each of them. They're like long 65, long 45.
Yep.
Long 60.
Yeah, right. Okay, so here we go. Do we have defensive linemen that can do it? First one that pops up, number 29, Tiberius Peterson. 6'3", 260. Hey, TP, you got to get your hands up. This is not the game where we're worried about the pressure. I need you to disengage, get those hands up. Because those drag routes across the middle that Ian Book just gets away with, you know, we're dumping and turning into long runs.
So you don't want to blitz. You just want them to maintain their ground to kind of maybe almost kind of be waiting for the run. But then when the pass, just throw your hands.
Yes, I'm not afraid of Ian Book like most people are. Okay, keep going. Zach Edwards, he does not play much, I don't believe. Starkville, Mississippi. Ooh, 6'3", 265. We'll throw him in there. We'll throw him in there just for record. Because here's the thing, people. I'm going to want you to revisit this. I'm going to want you to YouTube me during the game and say, yeah, Marcus, I mean, we probably won't win, but your game plan is working. This is actually happening. Okay. When you see that first text, or when you see that first tip pass that goes up and you see our guy diving at the almost interception, just say, Marcus told me. He told me. You're going to laugh wherever you are. You're going to be like, this bleeping bleeping. Called it on Wednesday. Raymond Puryear. 6'3", 255. Keep on going, Marcus. He does not play at all. He does not play at all. These are, I'm going past defensive linemen, freshmen. But I mean, we'll just, I'm just, so you know, I'm not skipping these names because they don't make my point. I say freshman that doesn't play, and let's say 6'4", 230. Freshman, not big enough yet. That's fine. Micah Bland, 6'2", 200. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. Dana Kennard, 6'3", 270. We got people that can get their hands up at 6'3", and 6'2", minimum. Minimum 6'2". Next one up. I'm just going to scroll. Give me a DL. Jared Goldwire. You recognize that name, Brian?
I do.
Tough player, right?
Yeah, big boy too, 6'5", 300.
6'6".
10 pounds?
305 pounds.
That was close.
Get your hands up in the
6'5",
air.
6'5", right?
6'6".
6'6".
Get your hands up in the air. Push, disengage, get those hands up in the air. We're not worried about Ian Book scrambling and beating
us. So this is the game not to play Henry Bryant, who's a 5'11 yeah. defensive tackle.
Yeah. Listen.
Play the 6'6 defensive tackle.
This might be that game. Okay. Derek Dorsey, 6'3", 275. Ed Emanuel, shout out. Malik Clark, 6'2". Jared Dawson, he's freshman. He's Collierville, Tennessee. I thought he'd be balling. He's 6'1", 258. Get it together. Grow up. Get some height on you. Ethan Wine, 6'3", 250. Desmond Tell, who the coach talked about, 6'1", 266. What I'm saying. Don't be surprised if you see a lot of hands up at the line of scrimmage. I think that is our Trojan horse into making this game uncomfortable.
So you want them to kind of sit back and wait for the run. Like you want the first mentality of the defensive line to be stop the run.
Definitely.
And then don't worry about getting pressure on the quarterback. Just know that if they do throw the ball, throw your hands up when the pass goes.
This is one of those games where we don't need you get your offensive line to set their feet and you get those hands up.
It's smart. With a small quarterback, that's smart.
But here's the thing. I mean, it's not like every coach, hasn't, probably said, okay, do we have the personnel? I think our personnel is specifically what does Coach Satterfield say? Every time we're playing against somebody, the first compliment he gives on good teams, he says, they got a lot of length.
Yeah.
That is his design, length. What is the first thing Coach Brown says? Tips and overthrows, got to get those. So we're talking about the base level of how we're going to win football games. I don't think Notre Dame has been tested at all. I think we're capable. And here's the thing. Here's what I will say this as well. I do think it is incumbent on Malik Cunningham to come out of this inaccuracy on the long ball. That's an important given. Again, I've seen him do it. I'm not even here for that conversation or that argument right now. Is he capable of doing it? This week, that's the conversation. This week, we're putting the clock on him. We're putting the sped up shot clock on him. Listen, if you're going to be uncomfortable taking long time to read, if you're uncomfortable moving up in the pocket, if I can't get you to move up in the pocket to buy yourself some more time, we're going to do a practice, shot clock. And if you can't make adjustments to your practice shot clock, then we're gonna give some snaps away.
I know you were talking about because I know we had this debate last time about how why are we not, you know, loading the box or blitzing a little more, because and we talked about how we don't really have the corners to do the man coverage. But
we will be getting our top corner back.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. When you look at you're talking about how you're using your personnel to your advantage and using their personnel against them, you know, their disadvantages against them. If Ian Book right now is not really that much of a passing threat with 200 yards a game and only throwing one touchdown a game, do you think they might load the box a little more with some of those linebackers? I mean, they may not necessarily leave the guys out to dry on the outside, but it's a running offense.
Listen, Steve talked about it yesterday. There's an arrogance to teams that think they're good, right? There's an arrogance of throw the ball up the sideline and our guy will make a play over yours, which I totally, totally enjoy. But I love going to my cornerback and saying he's going to throw this football up in the air. And you have got to break that football up. Like everybody could do their job, but either you're incapable of making. Again, there's people like to say creativity. Oh, you know, Satterfield's not being creative. Watch real football. Watch at the highest level. Watch Aaron Rodgers when it's man across the board. He will throw that football to his wide receiver and say, go make a play. Meet this football at the pylon. There's no science to that. There's like I said, a lot of people overthink a lot of things. Just because you see one or two plays a quarter that look cool, people are running the same stuff. I mean, rarely do you see when
it's all about execution.
San Francisco last year, Kansas City last year, they looked awesome, right? They looked awesome. But you know what they do? They execute the simple plays most of the game.
Yep.
Kansas City, they got all the creative, awesome. No, they run their simple plays really good. So it looks like you bite.
Everybody's doing their job.
Everybody's doing their job on the simple plays.
Instead of that one receiver not blocking his corner when we go outside and that corner ends up, you know, making the tackle.
So now we can do the creative stuff, Brian. At every level of football, we can't get creative until you take care of the small stuff, the simple execution, the dives, the slams, the off tackles, the stretch. Now we can get cute with the reverses and the trap blocks and the pulling guards and all that good fun stuff. We're not there yet. But, and the cute stuff is not going to help this team win any games. You might steal a nice trick play or a nice, you know, wrinkle. But until you get these, again, Malik has to hit the ball up the sideline to the open guy. You have to hit that first, or nobody will ever get nosy. Like, no, there will be no double team. In NBA, you don't win games until you have somebody that gets double teamed in the pick and roll.
You know what kind of goes along with that is the whole culture thing that Satterfield was talking about. I mean, a lot of the best defenses that you see, or even offenses, both, it's players who know how to work together with each other. I mean, when a quarterback has a connection with a receiver or a tight end or whatever it
may be.
Simple
stuff.
Or, like, you know, in a secondary, guys know when to switch or when to not, or we know who's going to be behind me in zone coverage and trust them and things like that. So, I mean, that whole culture concept that Satterfield was preaching last year, is it goes along with the same concept of what you're saying.
Texter says they make reference to New England. I'm going to assume the simple execution of New England is, you know, is dynasty. But for the first three New England appearances in postseason, we hated New England. You know why we hated New England? Because they were boring. You know why we hated San Antonio? Because they're boring. Every quote-unquote dynasty, most of the time, is boring.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you say, well,
it's
why?
Very plain.
Why are they doing the same thing? Because they, because we execute at they're a excellent. High level.
They're doing the little, you know, halfback draws, but their halfback draws getting 4 yards every time. So you're like, you know what? If you're just going to keep giving us 4 yards, we're just going to keep doing this. And then right when you just decide to come up, we're just going to do a little play action and get 15 yards over here to the left.
And play callers know that. Like, I don't know if people understand.
It was funny. And I know this is kind of a side thing, but it was a comment that Joe Burrow made after he had a really good game. I think it was against the Browns. And it was Thursday night game, and he kept hitting Drew Sample. It was this tight end, and in the fourth quarter, he hit him like 7 times on like one drive. And everybody's like, you know, are you going to start utilizing the tight end more? And he goes, I don't care who I'm throwing to. He's like, I throw to what's open.
Yep.
He's like,
yep.
I throw to what the defense gives me.
That's a little more reading, which we don't have to do that because it's a little different with the, you know, with the sideline, you know, play calling. So but to your point, the simple, like I said, that, listen, that's what scares me the most about Notre Dame is there's two matchups that they just abuse us at. They have a good tight end, you know. They have some good players. Like, I got no problem saying this could get ugly at matchups, right? But team energy, game plan, sharpness. Like I said, you don't even have to use last year as the example because you did have Mekhi Becton. I will say that. Mekhi Becton, you know, gives you a lot of, you know, movement. But we have said our offensive line has not been the issue. It's Notre Dame still. And again, I got no problem saying it's Notre Dame. It's going to be, you're going to have to be clicking
on the game plan itself is good. Now they got to go execute what you're talking about.
This would be Groundhog Day for me as far as execution.
This is why it's so frustrating to be a head coach, because
why didn't you get into coaching?
It's what we talked about, you know, like, you know, we debated after this last loss, people are going to call in and start blaming Satterfield for this, and it's not necessary. You know, Satterfield can't make up missed tackles, and, you know, as long as he's got his guys in the right spot, he's doing his job.
I get so
– But it's people, frustrating.
I'm so sorry that you have to list some points that I make. I just have to get it out to the universe, because universe, we love sports. We love each other's analysis of this sport, but I'm telling you, nothing bothers me more than Mac didn't have them ready to play. You went to Lexington, Kentucky, packed house, and you took them to overtime and free throws. They wet the bed on the free throw line. What am I supposed to do? I can't be a coach and listen to somebody say Marcus didn't have him ready to shoot free throws. Coach Maben didn't have his players. Listen, I'm sorry. Coach Maben didn't have his 82% free throw shooting team ready to knock down free throws. That is my listen, Johnny's failing because the teacher's not spending more time after school to help my child. He's, you know, the teacher should have called me 2 or 3 more times.
Those people who always point fingers and blame other people for their
to let me know how bad he was doing. Oh my goodness. What, listen, why is the police officer pulling me over when there's people out here doing real crimes? I was only speeding by 18 miles an hour. But he should be chasing Charles Manson instead of giving me tickets.
I'm around plenty of those people. I totally get this. I totally get this whole thing.
Listen,
you're going on.
You are a moving missile at 18 miles over the speed limit. You are the serial killer right now. You're the serial killer. I was just, no, it's your fault. It's your fault you let your kid look at 10 hours of iPad.
10 hours of iPad.
Right?
You just sit him on the couch and let him play games, you know?
All day long. Yeah, listen, that's not a pre-existing condition that he's big-boned. He needs to get out and exercise. I'm sorry, people.
That's the thing right now, because parents are always like, here, just take your iPad and go play. And you're like, well, that's going to have side effects down the road.
Your kid is not a picky eater. Your kid just doesn't have taste buds for just chicken nuggets and pizza. You feed them chicken nuggets and pizza. You don't make them eat healthy. It's the high cholesterol at a young age is not there. It's not the hereditary thing. It's take some accountability on everything. These coaches know what they're doing, and they spend 20 out of 24 hours trying to come up with the best game plan for each individual player and team, and you spend an hour or two or three telling everybody how these coaches suck, and you could fix everything. Last commercial break, middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Fill.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. 15 minutes to go. Phone lines are open. 8150, 939, of course. 3831, 939, of course. We do have it rolling on the YouTube channel. Let me get through a couple of the comments. Turnovers and tackles. It's really that simple. I see that. We just need to limit turnovers. Pretty simple. Okay. Bo Jackson Tech Bowl. JVM PlayStation. I'm just kind of going through it. We will have character back. I'm excited about that. Hands up and finish tackles. I didn't know there was so much traffic. Sorry, YouTubers. I was kind of caught up in a passion. How many people did I just piss off, Brian, in your
Roughly estimates? Like, 100,000 to 200,000. That's all.
It's probably 20% of our listeners I probably made angry. Because I hate being that guy. Like I said, I just don't like being that guy, but I don't like pointing fingers. Hey, like I said, even though I do know sometimes you're right when you point the finger, but it doesn't benefit you to point the fingers. So let's get out of that conversation. Let's get completely out of that, out of that realm. Do you realize that we haven't talked about the NBA championship? We haven't talked about the NCAA decision to grant people, the freebie year that
winter
is this
sports,
year.
Yeah.
Right? I was going to ask, these are.
That's awesome. That includes basketball now. Now we got basketball and football included.
Listen, I was supposed to, at some point today, ask you, ask Steve Rummage, ask the listeners of 93.9. So you feel free to text in, feel free to call in on these. Feel free to tell me, if you have an answer, Brian, share it. If you don't, that's absolutely fine. Franchise one player. Give me one player.
NBA?
No. Louisville player that I can lock in for another year. Let's assume Sam's getting ready to jump pro. David's getting ready to jump pro. Grad transfer Carlique Jones. Senior Malik Williams. right? Franchise one
that's
of those.
So tough.
Texters, 38-31-93-9. I got four players, and you can only franchise one of them. David Johnson, Sam Williams, Malik Cunningham, Malik Williams, or Carlique Jones. Look, you talked about, you listen to Steve, he thinks Carlique, consensus number one grad transfer is the goods. We all know OG Malik Williams is like the anchor of our defenses. He's the most intense person on the team. David Johnson is just raw talent. And Sam Williams, who doesn't need a 6'7" wingman who can stroke it and do all the little things?
This is a lot tougher than I actually thought it was going to be when you asked this. Because also, you know, Malik has been our defensive anchor for about 3 years now.
First two, Malik Williams.
See, I think – okay, so – I mean, and don't get me wrong, because I actually think Samuel Williamson is one of those guys that could end up being one of the best pros out of those guys.
Uh-huh.
But as far as college goes and what he's done so far, I'm gonna take him off the list. So I'm down to three. Now the thing I got with Malik is he's the defensive anchor. He would be the next for me to like mathematically eliminate, but at the same time, what he brings is also very hard to find. We do have Aiden Agahon, who hopefully by another season backing up Malik will be ready to go to be able to start. But what he brings to the defensive side of the ball, we haven't had in a big man in a while, so that's tough. But I'm gonna take Malik off. So now I'm down to Carlique and David Johnson. And when you look at this, I think that Carlique is going to be more of the leader this year, and I think that he's going to do that. But what you're talking about is when we saw David Johnson last year, the level of improvement from game to game, just like and like from when he had his first game to the end of the season, you think about that improvement for a half a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't imagine what he's going to be by the time March hits. So it's like I think his ceiling is sky high. So you say, let's bring back David Johnson because I want to get another year of improvement out of him and then see what he's going to be. But Carlique Jones is kind of already a finished product. But it's a preference thing. I'm going to go with potential over, like, the safe bet. So, like, Carlique Jones is the safe bet. You know what you're going to get out of him. He's a solid player. He's going to be one of your top two players. But David Johnson has superstar potential.
What do you think the public thinks? Franchise one player, everybody, 38-31-93-9. You can tweet it at us. It's fine. We're checking all.
I think the majority will probably go with David Johnson. But I think, honestly, I don't think Carlique Jones is the wrong call or Malik Williams. I do think that Sam will probably fall into fourth. But, again, I'm going to go back and say it's between him and David Johnson as who's going to be the best pro out of those four. But being a good pro doesn't help us next season. So I'm doing the NBA thing and drafting a guy based on potential right now.
I am. So Quincy wants to lock in Josh Nickleberry to make sure.
Ooh, that's an outsider.
I guess you're assuming he's going to transfer if he doesn't play, but you like his potential, so you want to just add him to the franchise list. That's fine. I'll play that game. But, Brian, while I am proud of your answer, I am disappointed at the speed from which you gave it.
You thought it should have been a much quicker response. Just David Johnson.
Listen.
Which four? Date DJ before you even say it.
Here's the thing. You did a great job of explaining your thought process and process of elimination, right? But here's the problem. My brain is tainted by something entirely different when it comes to David Johnson. I know what it's like, or I not what it's like, unfortunately. I watched Under the Basket, David Johnson of Trinity. I looked at that Trinity team And no disrespect to Trinity, but that didn't look like a state championship team.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
No, I got you. I went out and watched that Trinity team two or three different times, and they were good. Don't get me wrong.
Yes,
they were good.
They were good. Yeah. They were well coached and all that good stuff and all that good stuff. I watched David Johnson take that team and win the state championship. And I'm telling you, I have not seen
the turning point.
More control, more IQ at I mean, just – I mean, I know people are right now in their minds, they're saying, well, it wasn't as good as so-and-so, and everybody can think of a game. Maybe it was just the vantage point I had for that game, and I could read his eyes the entire time. I saw his strength. I just saw everything I needed to see in a basketball player. David Johnson, if I had a mass exodus, like, Lord help me, everybody gets angry and just decides that the one-time transfer, we lose everybody. You give me David Johnson and dudes, I feel like I'm in it. David Johnson and dudes make me feel like I'm in it.
That Duke game is the one that always just pops to your mind, and you're like, man, he took that team on his back, and he led them to that
victory. Listen, I've seen – here's the thing. He may not have the cleanest look to somebody else, looking game, you know, whatever, but I've watched him figure it out on the fly. I've watched him IQ a basketball game to death. I've been so impressed. I've been impressed with him. And I actually, if I was an assistant coach on that team, that would be the one thing that myself and Coach Mack would have probably physically fought.
Let me ask you this. So, so DJ is both our answers. Who's your second?
Malik.
You would go with Malik.
Yeah, Malik. I like.
So you're not a Carlick Jones fan?
No. Listen. This is Marcus.
I'm talking about for franchise.
Marcus can always go get 6'1" dog guards. I can always get those. The extra stuff is hard to find.
The 6'5" wing or the 6'10" center.
No, the 6'5" point four. Yeah, so, you know, point two in David Johnson. Like, that's hard to find. So that's just kind of like my preference. I like big men.
Yeah, because I'm a big Carlick Jones fan, but I was the same way. Even though I put Carlick Jones there as the debate with David Johnson, because those are going to be the two best players. Like, you ask any Louisville fan, those are going to be the two best players on the floor, but people don't really factor in all the stuff that Malik brings to the table.
And big men that can shoot free throws. Did y'all see Malik against Duke? Did you see him close? I'm going to miss Stephen Enoch so much. I love big men that can shoot free throws. Malik can hit them.
Malik does a game. Like, what he brings on the defensive side of the ball is something that is going to be hard to replace next year because, if Aiden Agahon makes it, I don't see him being a defensive presence like Malik.
Yeah,
he can maybe do better than Malik, in the paint.
Yeah,
and maybe rebounding.
His offensive can help, but you got to have a high level of you have to have a high basketball IQ to be an anchor of a Chris Mack defense. Chris, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind? Chris, you there? You there, Chris?
Hello?
Yep.
Yes.
Fire away.
Hey, first of all, Maven, that commercial you did for 4PEG, man, you put the Barry White voice on that. It had me feeling some type of way, man.
The delegation voice.
I was listening, and I was like, is that for a restaurant?
Listen, look, that's what our job is to do, to get your attention, no matter how you do it. 4PEG.
Oh, you grabbed it. You got it. You got it for sure.
Fair enough.
You got to keep Malik, because like you were saying, I was on hold for you. You can find a 6'5" guard, 6'1" guard anywhere, but Malik just brings something special, man. He keeps everybody in place. And it is hard to find a 6'10 guy who can shoot the ball and communicate in the manner in which he communicates. So, and plus, if you watch other sports when they franchise people, they don't handle it well. I think Malik does handle it well. If you grab one of these guys who can go to the league, they may not handle it well. So he's the perfect person to franchise. Mm. I'll get off and I'll listen to you.
No, listen, Chris. I mean, that one, 9.999 times out of 10, it would always be the Malik is who I would franchise. Like, I would do that all day long. Normally, I can work with everybody else, but in this case, like I said, the
he's special. DJ special.
He has some
superstar potential.
If I could get DJ to get Malik to throw a ball, to throw a football as crisp as he throws a basketball, my God.
I mean, DJ is one of those guys that could have a similar route to, I'm not, obviously this is not a comparison, but to Donovan Mitchell, where he goes like mid first round, but then ends up being a really, like one of the core three pieces of the team.
I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see David. I hope you're in the lab. Get in the lab, son. Well, that was a fun show. Wednesday, man, this week is flying by. It's also which Wednesday? We didn't get that reading. Do you got anything over there? Oh, I think we got enough time. Give them their props. Phil Baker's probably waiting like, Marcus, you cannot let the show go without giving them a shout out. Go ahead, Brian.
No. He's good. He was texting me about a spot, so I'll get back to you here in just a second, Phil. I know he's listening right now. Thanks to Jason and his team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. It's a Witch Wednesday. Be sure to get carryout or delivery from the Hirschborn or Brownsboro Crossing location for lunch or dinner. Fall sports are back. They got box lunches for your team and coaches. They will get those are, you know, for the little leaguers out there. You can get your box lunch for free. The coaches will get their box lunch for free if the entire team gets their box lunches. From there, head over to ESPN Louisville Facebook pages for a chance to win a home gating spread from Witch for this weekend's game against Notre Dame. Try the ESPN special as well. It's a large witch for just $6.80. Only for call-in orders. Witch, Superior Sandwiches.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.